Good morning, and welcome to the SQM 2015 earnings conference call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. Please note this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Gerardo Yanez, Vice President of Finance and Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to SQM's fourth quarter 2015 earnings conference call. For your information, this call will be recorded and is being webcast live. You may access the webcast later on at our website, www.sqm.com. Joining me today as speakers are Patricio Solmiñac, Chief Executive Officer, and Ricardo Ramos, CFO. Before we begin, let me remind you that statements in this conference concerning the company's business outlook, future economic performance, anticipated profitability, revenues, expenses, or other financial items, anticipated cost synergies, and product or service line growth, together with other statements that are not historical facts, are forward-looking statements as that term is defined under federal securities law. Any forward-looking statements are estimates reflecting the best judgment of SQM based on currently available information and involve a number of risks, uncertainties, and other factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from those stated in such statements. Risks, uncertainties, and factors that could affect the accuracy of such forward-looking statements are identified in the public filings made with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Any forward-looking statement should be considered in light of those factors. I now leave you with our Chief Executive Officer, Patricio Solmiñac, for brief comments before we move to Q&A.
Good morning, and thank you for joining the SQM 2015 earnings conference call. On Tuesday, we post our results for the year. Our earnings reached $213 million, a decrease of 28% compared to last year. Lower prices and lower volumes in some of our major business lines influenced this result. In addition, our results were significantly impacted by the stopping of our mining operation in Pedro de Valdivia. This event had one-time before-tax effect of $57.7 million on net income. Our revenues reached $1.7 billion, a decrease of just under 14% compared to last year. We have been focused on cost over the past 2 years, and this remained our important efforts in 2015. We successfully reduced our costs. As proof, our EBITDA margin in 2015 was 42%, up from the 37% of last year, despite significantly lower price in almost all of our business lines. These higher margins reflect lower costs resulting from improvement in our operation activities across all business lines. Additionally, we have seen some financial benefit related to the weaker Chilean peso and lower energy costs. Looking to 2016, we do expect to see pressure on margins due to lower priced fertilizers and iodine markets. I will now briefly outline our five business lines. Potassium nitrate. Revenues for 2015 were down compared to the last year as a result of lower prices and lower sales volumes. These lower volumes were a result of weak sales seen during the first half of the year. While sales volume in the field fertilizer market decreased in 2015, our sales volume in the water-soluble fertilizer market increased. Prices were down slightly last year in this business line, but being that the products are specialty fertilizers, prices are less volatile than prices seen in the potassium chloride market. While the numbers are down, the future in the specialty plant nutrition market look positive. We are expecting market growth of approximately 5% in the water-soluble market in 2016. Potassium chloride. Revenues in this business line decreased approximately 26% when compared to 2014. This result from lower volume, which fell over 20%, we expect our sales volume to see recovery in 2016. Price are a concern. An average price will be lower in 2016 than in 2015. Iodine, revenue reported in 2015 were decreased as a result of a lower average price. Price during 2015 continued to see downward pressure. Our average price for the year was $28 per kilogram, a decrease of over 26% compared to 2014. We expect some further price deterioration in 2016. Price today are around $25 per kilo. Our sales volume in this business line increased by approximately 6% compared to 2014, and we expect this trend in volume increase to continue in 2016. Lithium, revenues for 2015 increased almost 8% compared to last year as a direct result of higher prices. Prices increased 10% when compared to last year, offsetting the slightly lower sales volume. This market continued to show robust demand growth related to the battery industry, and while we do expect some new supply to enter the market during 2016, we still expect to see higher average price and higher sales volume in 2016. Industrial chemicals, revenues were down in this business line in 2016. The most important product in this business line is solar salts. In 2015, we sold approximately 37,000 tons. Prospect in this market remain positive, and we expect to see sales volume related to solar salt almost double in 2016. I will now open the line for questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. At this time, we'll pause momentarily to assemble our roster. Our first question comes from Isabella Simonato with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Patricio. Good morning, Gerardo. I have a couple of questions. First, on the lithium business, if you could anticipate some of the new supply that could come in 2017, and what do you expect to see in terms of prices more towards the end of 2016 and 17? And if you could give an update also on the arbitration process with Corfo, that would be my first question. My second question, if it's on the SPN business and the focus that you're now giving to water, to soluble fertilizers, if you could provide us more color in terms of the margin difference between the products within the SPN line. Those would be my two questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Isabella. Regarding your first question, basically we were expecting some of the new supply, like Orocobre from Argentina, to start production and selling actually more products during 2015, but they have delays. We expect them to start to move more product during 2016. We'll have to see if they solve all their problems that they announced. But they are indicated that they will try to get to their nameplate capacity during 2016. This is the most important new entrance. There are also a couple of additional production in China of the actual producer, but it's not that important. We we are seeing a very strong demand, basically from the battery producers. So we think that the market will continue during 2016 to be tight, and that means that we will, and we are seeing now higher prices. We believe that this should continue during the full year of 2016. What happened in 2017 depend on finally if there are this new capacity in or no. We are seeing that new projects are not easy, so we are optimistic about the future in the lithium market. We expect to sell more volume from our side during 2016, and of course, seeing higher prices on average in 2016 versus 2015. Regarding the arbitration process, the process continue as established. We are in the process of the proof. We expect that we should have some kind of, we don't have a specific date for finishing it, but the expectation is that should be near the end of the year. Regarding to your second question, in SPN, water soluble is the higher margins product within this line. We have in, and also the line of product that grows more. So we are been putting more efforts in the growth of this business line. And if you look at the margins that we have during 2015, that is a clear result of the strategy.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Alexander Falcon with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. So I have two questions. First one is, can you comment on how's the competitive environment for the Brazil market specifically? Just wanted to know if anyone has been a little bit more aggressive or not, and you know, is the market really more softer in the potash level? That's the first question. And the second question is on your dividend policy and the cash generation. Just wondering if is there any change on what you're planning to do with the excess cash and the cash generation specifically for next year. Thank you.
Thank you, Alexander. Regarding to your first question, clearly Brazil has not been easy. Brazil is going through tough times. So the market of potash has not been an exception. Traditionally, Brazil used to be a market that used to pay more than the contract price that the Chinese has, the yearly contract price, because it was more as a spot market. But what we have seen in the last year is that gap has been narrowed, and the price in Brazil is tending to go more close to the Chinese contract price. And also, given the uncertainties that are in the market, they have been less aggressive at taking inventories. On the other hand, given that there is not a closure on the Chinese contract yet, most of the producers of potash also are trying to move their volumes more aggressively into Brazil, and that makes it a more competitive market. Regarding the dividend policy, there have not been a change. We have our shareholder meetings in April, and that is a decision that the shareholders should have to make at that time.
And just a quick follow-up on that. So do you think this is more dependent on the decision on the arbitration and what's going to happen with that than anything else, or it's going to be something independent? Thank you.
No. We are very confident on the The situation of the arbitration, we think that we have a strong case, that we perform all our duties to the contracts, so we feel confident on that process. We have a very strong balance sheet. We have a very very good financial position. We have been looking for some M&A activity. So board should consider all these issues in order to propose to the shareholder meetings. We have a dividend policy in place that is 50% of our net income.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Ben Isaacson with Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Patricio, my first question is on the iodine market. Prices are about $25 per kilogram right now. Can you talk about what that means in terms of whether or not you're starting to see some of the high-cost producers shut down or at least talk about it? What are you seeing out there? Is there rationalization on the way?
Hi, Ben. Iodine market, our strategy has been very clear established. We are getting back at the market share. We are increasing volume. We did increase our volumes in 2015, and we will increase our volumes more than the market grows in 2016. And the price will be a result of the demand and supply. Demand continuing in the main application of iodine. Regarding supply, and going directly to your question, there has been already one high-cost producer that closed their operation, as we understand, in Chile. And there have been also some other information saying that other producers are high-cost producers are being preoccupied about the level of price that we are seeing today.
That's great. My second question is in the solar salt market. You talked about possibly doubling your sales this year. Why is there going to be such a big increase in sales? And you know, what's the potential for the market? And what's your capacity to sell into that market?
You know, the solar salt is a mixture of sodium nitrate and potassium nitrate. We do have capacity in place to serve this market. This market is a project market, meaning once a company, a power company, build a solar plant, we sell the solar as a part of the plant when it's built in order to be able to operate. So what we were expecting this year, one specific project that was delayed for next year. So we have the purchase order, and the only problem was that the building of that project took a little bit more time, and then we delayed the delivery of the solar salt. This technology has been improving a lot, and there are in some locations that they can operate without subsidies. So we are very confident that we will start to see, and we are seeing, and we are talking to the people, to the power companies that are pursuing those projects, that this market could continue to increase. Next year, we expect to sell in the range of 70,000 tons, and we believe that we can go over 100,000 tons per year in the following years.
Great. And then just my very last question in on the lithium industry. Can you just remind us what the government of Chile is doing in terms of growing the industry, and what are SQM's plans with respect to lithium growth over the next several years, if any?
Well, in the lithium industry, the most important thing for us is that we have to finish the arbitration with Corfo. We expect that could be finished by the end of the year, as I said before. And of course, our idea of being able to produce more volumes in Chile. We also continue looking at other opportunities around the world. We do have a strong know-how technically and commercially and in the industry. So we are an important player in the lithium industry, and our strategy is to continue to be so.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Andrew McCarthy with Bunchili. Please go ahead.
Hi, Patricia. Good morning, everyone, and thanks for taking my question. I was just looking at the press release and saw the part about the development of potential new business initiatives. I was just wondering if you could maybe add a little color to what areas in particular you're looking at, maybe in general terms, and also whether that relates to the outcome of the arbitration process with Corfo.
Thank you, Andrew. No, it's nothing to do with the arbitration of Corfo. We have been developing a growing strategy. You know that we had a very important years of important investment in our capacity for our current business lines, and we went through a couple of years of consolidation. We wanted to make sure that all the investment that we did are operating in a well manner, and also diminishing the cost, which has been very successful, as in our focus, as we stated before. And we start, which was very good, all this process much before of all the other industry in Chile, the copper industry that also facing similar challenges than us. And at the same time, we continue to look, as we have done, opportunities around the world in all the business that we know that we have a competitive advantage. We do not want to grow just per grow. What we want to be is to have profitable business, to increase our returns. So if we are not sure that that will be the case, we are to some extent conservative in these new businesses. What I can comment is that we continue to do our exploration in our mining rights for metallic minerals directly, and also through the agreements that we have with junior and medium-sized companies. And that continue to be a lot of activity. It's a long-term plan that has had already good results, like the discovery on Tucoya, and we also see that could have interesting results in the future.
Okay, that's great. And just one follow-up question, if I may. You mentioned in the Estados Financieros that there's a potential or a possibility of a 50% to 300% fine against the taxes you paid to the Chilean tax authority last year. I was just wondering if you could explain or give a bit more color on what that means and what amounts they're talking about there.
Basically, as you know, we did some rectification on some expenses that we did not found the support, and that means that they are not considering they are not considered by the tax authority as expenses needed to generate the income, and we have to pay the tax of 35% plus some interest and fines. And that we pay in total close to $10 million in the four rectification that we did. And according to our lawyers, we don't see as a possible to get to pay this, but this is in the regulation that there is a possibility that could be a 50 to 300% fine on the tax pay, which is in the range of $5 million. So will be 50% of $5 million up to 300% of $5 million, more or less.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Cesar Perez Novoa with BTG Pactual. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Could you please provide some breakdown of the stated $150 million CapEx program, and is part of that amount also going to Pampa Hermosa? Thank you.
Thank you, Cesar. You know that our depreciation is $260 million, so the $150 is basically related to sustainable capital. We plan to continue to strengthen our position in Nueva Victoria. We also need to do some investment in the Salar to be able to produce a little bit more SOP than MOP in order to optimize the margins, and also some expenses that we are doing in the iodine plant, as I said, in Nueva Victoria. Regarding lithium, we also are doing some investment improving the capacity of battery-grade products vis-a-vis industrial products and in lithium carbonate and lithium hydroxide. That's mainly the 150. The Pampa Hermosa is included, which is a development that goes by stage. We do have enough capacity today of nitrate and iodine, so we will continue to do the project expansion in Pampa Hermosa that we have approved if we see that we will need the additional volumes in the market.
All right. Okay, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you all very much for joining us today, and we hope to have you with us in the next conference call. Goodbye, everyone.
The conference has now concluded. You may now disconnect.